Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production, now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Welcome to the Feel Good Podcast with Kimberly Snyder. My goal is to help you develop a holistic lifestyle based on our four cornerstone philosophy: food, body, emotional well-being, and spiritual growth. This holistic approach will help you feel good, which I define as being connected to your most authentic, highest self. And this is the place from which your energy, confidence, creativity, true power, and true beauty will start to explode. Every week, we provide you with interviews from top experts in their field or a solo cast from yours truly to support you in living your most beautiful, healthy, and joyful life. I'm your host, Kimberly Snyder, founder of Saluna, New York Times bestselling author, and holistic wellness, nutrition, and meditation teacher. Let's get started. Hi, beauties, and welcome back to our Thursday Q&A podcast, where our topic this week is energy boosting practices for fall. So just in time for the shift that you may be really feeling right now, wherever you happen to live. I know for me, even here in Southern California, there is much more wind. It's much colder, especially in the morning and the evening. It's time to get those thicker socks out. And this cycle, this shift that's happening is in nature, means that since we are part of nature, it's important that we make shifts in our own life, in our own lifestyles, to really accommodate for what's going on in the collective, what's going on around us. Just like trees that we see, they bud in the spring and then they come to fruition and then they start to drop their leaves and they go through this beautiful cycle of shift and change. We need to make sure that we are shifting and changing our practices, our foods, how we approach all different aspects of our lives in this cyclical way in order to really take the best care of ourselves, in order to feel our best, in order to have our highest energy, in order to feel our most creative. So I'm really excited to get into this topic today because I think it's important to really talk about this now because it's only going to get progressively colder and windier if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, of course. And we want to really approach this before we start to feel depleted, before suddenly we realize, oh my gosh, it's freezing and I've done nothing to change my lifestyle or my habits. And now we're playing defense more. We are trying to backpedal. So we want to get a little bit more ahead of it. So now we're here in October. It's a really great time to be talking about this topic. And I'm glancing down at the questions we have today from beauties in our community from all around. Really great questions. So I can't wait to get into them today. But before we do, I want to give a little shout out, a little reminder to please leave us a review on iTunes, which is free and absolutely such an easy thing to do. Your review could be one sentence long. It doesn't have to take more than 3 minutes, but it is such a powerful way that you can support our show. So from the bottom of my heart, I thank you so much for taking the time to do that. And if you screenshot your review and send it over to us at reviews@mysaluna.com, we will send you our free self-love affirmation series, which is a series of 7 tracks, which will help you to, first of all, just reprogram any limiting beliefs that you have and really start to cherish and honor yourself. And this is key because this is the vibration that changes your outside world. If we don't change our inner relationship with ourselves, then our outside world continues to be a struggle. And the things that we say that we want continue to feel more elusive because we're putting out a certain vibration that doesn't match what we want. So self-love is a very tricky thing. It's a big topic. And it is my goal and my intention with this series to help you start to unlock some of your innate power and really start to shift your life. So again, if you screenshot your review and send it over to us at reviews@mysaluna.com, that's with 2 L's, we will get that right over to you. And while you're over there, please be sure to subscribe to our podcast. And that way you don't miss out on any of these Q&A podcasts where the questions, again, come right from our beautiful, amazing members of our community, or the Monday interview podcasts or solo casts, which are pretty amazing as well, I have to say. We find some incredible souls out there that have some real gifts to share. And again, the intention is always to support each other on this journey, to share what helps, to just help lift each other up, to live our best lives, and to feel good, which is the name of our podcast, which really means to feel connected to your true self as we go through this journey of life. Okay, let's get right into our questions now. And the first one comes from Darlene, who lives in Vermont. And she writes, "Hi, Kimberly. My question is about my sleeping pattern and how off it gets around this time of year. What tips can you share to help make this transition a bit easier on the quality of rest I get?" So first of all, Darlene, thank you so much, my love, for your question, sending you a big warm hug in Vermont, where I'm sure it's starting to get chilly. Second of all, before I go into the answer, I just want to acknowledge that my voice may feel or may sound a little bit froggy today, as Emerson, my older son, says. It's because I've been recording the audiobook for the past few days, and I've been in the studio 8 hours a day, just reading the whole book myself. So my vocal cords are a bit overused right now, but total labor of love. We actually start the pre-sales of the book on Monday. I'm super excited to share. But if you hear my voice a little bit throaty, shall we say, you'll know that it's because I've been reading and reading and reading. So that being said, let's get into our question today about sleeping patterns. So when we transition into the seasons, everything starts to shift. And this goes back to Dinacharya, which is the Ayurvedic word for routine, daily routine. And Ayurveda teaches us time and time again that we need to maintain a really healthy, thought-through pattern in our daily lives, which in turn will help to regulate, yes, your sleep pattern, yes, your digestion, and your nervous system, which is such a big emphasis in yoga and Ayurveda. Our nervous system is basically what connects us, our central nervous system, our spine, our you know, the deepest core of us, part of the deepest core of us, rather, with, you know, the so-called outside world. And if it's frazzled and it's overworked, we experience things like adrenal exhaustion and anxiety and more inflammation and more digestive issues. And when our nervous system is balanced, we feel calm, we feel centered. There is a balanced relationship between our sympathetic and our parasympathetic nervous system. No matter what life is throwing at us, we feel prepared for each now moment. So this goes back to routine, Darlene. I would say that it's natural for your pattern to feel a bit off because the light is shifting and it's increasingly getting darker and darker. You know, in Vermont, you are definitely in the Northern Hemisphere. So things may just feel, you feel what's going on in nature. We cannot deny that we are part of nature. And so the light is shifting and it's getting colder. So because of that, we want to also shift our daily schedule around a little bit to accommodate for that. And this could include waking up a little bit earlier to catch that morning light and going to bed earlier to really go with that natural flow of nature. In the past, there weren't artificial lights. There weren't, you know, all of these light bulbs. There wasn't electricity. So when this season would come, our ancestors would naturally be forced to go to bed earlier. Even if they had, you know, chats at night and they had candles, there was still this natural progression of aligning to the rhythms of nature. So I've been doing that naturally myself. I've been going to bed earlier the past few weeks. It's, you know, I felt that real shift and I've been getting up earlier. And I have to say that that one practice alone has made an enormous, enormous difference in my energy, Darlene. And I have to be honest with you, this is not something I have done in other years. I have sort of, you know, when it comes to the time, oh, I go to bed around 10, it's sort of been that way for me year round. But the deeper I get into this practice and the deeper I get into my connection with myself and with nature, I realize that we can't just superimpose our man-made, you know, thoughts and ideas and timelines on, because it doesn't really work that way. You know, we make such a big deal about New Year's, for instance, which is January 1st, But really, the winter solstice and the summer solstice are the times when the light and the you know, nature is shifting in a bigger way. So that would be, you know, make more sense that we create resolutions and honor those times of years, you know, more importantly, the New Year's. But we kind of have these, you know, man-made ideas. And it's okay, of course, we can honor both. But I would say if there's any way, Darlene, to shift your schedule, like I said, to just going to bed a little bit earlier, even you could start with 20 minutes and wake up 20 minutes earlier. And then as it goes through, you know, another few weeks, make it 30 minutes earlier, you go to bed, and then you get up 30 minutes earlier, and then so on and so forth. Maybe to the point where in the summer, if you go to bed at 10, because the light is up and you're maybe having dinner a little bit later, you're outside more, and you go to bed at 10, you know, by a month from now, a month and a half from now, when we're really in more darkness, you would go to bed at 9 instead of 10 as a goal. Of course, it doesn't always happen, and we're not, you know, we don't have to feel this pressure of being perfect. But I do think naturally shifting your bedtime and trying to commit to that as a regular schedule will make a really big difference. So what does that mean practically? It means moving your dinner time up. This is a whole dinacharya. So we want that gap between dinner and going to bed. We want time to digest. So let's say usually ate dinner at 7 or 6:30. Maybe you start to eat dinner at 6:15. You just start to move it up 20 minutes, which doesn't feel like a lot, but you are attuning yourself to the natural circadian rhythm of what's happening around you instead of resisting it and pushing it. And when we go with the flow, so to speak, it's like when you're scuba diving or swimming in the ocean, swimming's a better example, and you go with the current, it's a lot easier than when you're trying to swim upstream. And so if you just start to shift 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and then you get used to that, and then maybe you shift it again another 15 minutes, 20 minutes, it's not going to feel like such a big deal. But in your body, you're starting to align, you're starting to harness with, you know, the bigger energy of nature, and it becomes very, very powerful. And I will say that morning time, that sacred morning time, I mean, I used to fight against it. I used to feel, you know, I used to go to bed later at the same time. And then when Moses, the baby, would get up early, I would just, like kind of feel that bigger struggle. But because I'm going to bed earlier now in the morning, I really enjoy that time. I even get up earlier before Moses now. And I do my full meditation practice sometimes. I write things down. I journal. I come up with some great ideas. So I have to say, as someone that didn't always have that morning time be my favorite time of day, now that I've really committed to adjusting my evenings, eating dinner earlier, evening routine earlier, I take my shower earlier, everything's earlier. Now I get to bed with hubby earlier. We have our chats earlier, everything. It feels really good and it feels like that natural flow. So I encourage you, Darlene, to give it a try. Let me know how you do. Keep in touch with us and sending you so much love. All right, guys, we have our second question who comes from Faith and she lives in Canada. And she writes, my energy level goes way down once the cooler weather comes. Should I have started a daily practice sooner to help increase, boost my energy? Or are there practices I can start today and still reap the benefits? Faith, thank you so much, my love. Sending you a big, very warm hug to Canada. I imagine it is very cold now. My husband's family is actually from Montreal. And I know it started getting cold there in general, but they said this year it was very cold in September. So to answer your question, your power, Faith, is always right here, right now. So forget about, oh, I should have done this. Oh, I didn't do that. Oh, I could have done this, could have done that. I mean, we can say that about all things, right? The most important thing is that you are aware of this moment, and you're aware of the fact that, hey, my energy is going down. I need to do something about it. So don't worry about anything that you were supposed to have done before, because the reality is, as I said at the beginning of the show, we really want to adjust as we're going along with the cycles. So, you know, summer was summer and you were living your life then. And then early fall was early fall and that was then. Right now, you can absolutely make shifts that will make a huge difference in your life right here, right now. And those shifts go across all of the cornerstones. So I'll take this question from our cornerstone perspective, which is our holistic approach. I want you to remember, each and every single one of you, that you are a whole being. You are an amazing, unique, whole being. And so we want to take a holistic approach. We need to go beyond food. We need to go beyond exercise and be beyond any one thing in order for you to feel your very best. So when it comes to this, food-wise, you want to make sure that you're eating more cooked, warm, easily digestible foods. I'm a big fan of raw food and cooked food. And this is the time of the year where we start to shift the ratios. This is the time of the year where Agni, which is fire, it brings a different element when the food is cooked and warm into your body. Ayurveda teaches us this is not the time of year where you want to eat a lot of cold foods. So we shift away from, you could still eat some salad, but more cooked veggies, more soup, more stew, more casseroles. I have to tell you guys, the recipe in the Perfectly Imperfect book that's in the brunch section, it's for this, it's called Sunday Brunch Casserole. I've been modifying it and making it for dinner a lot, and it's very easy. I add in, it's like pinto beans and potatoes and spinach and whatever veggies I have in the fridge, and then some warming spices. So I've been using like smoked paprika and, varying it up, and coconut oil. I cook the veggies and then I top it with some vegan cheese. I bake it for like 20 minutes. It's the best, easiest dinner for the whole family, and it feels deeply nourishing. And I serve it with a side of quinoa. Now, I was in Hawaii a few weeks ago where it was very hot. And for dinner, sometimes I was still eating the Dharma's kale salad topped with a side of lentils or, I was eating a lot of nuts actually this summer. So, you know, some more like raw stuff, and that felt really good at the time. But now, since the wind is picking up, my diet has really shifted already. So warm, nourishing foods, warming spices. We're going to link in the show notes to a past podcast from Vaidya Jay, who is my Ayurvedic teacher, who does a really great job of explaining which spices to use in different seasons so that you really can help maximize your body's warming capabilities and absorption capabilities. So warming foods, very important right now. You can still have your GGS. I know some of you may be wondering that. I still drink my GGS year-round, but I do not drink it so cold. I do not put frozen fruit in it in the winter. Or if I do, I just take it out and I let it sit there. I drink it closer to room temperature. It's not warm and gross. It's not freezing either. And that is palatable to me as long as it's smooth and it's not chunky and nasty. I don't drink it super cold, but I still start with a hot drink in the morning. I still start with that hot water with lemon. And I also often put ginger in the winter just to make it more warming. And then I have the GGS, and then I shift my ratio for the rest of the day where there's less raw and more cooked, for sure. And then Faith, the next thing is body. It's really important to stay active in the winter. And I am a big believer of bundling up. I mean, maybe not in Canada because of the snow and, you know, conditions out there. But here, I bundle up. I still like the fresh air. I still like the sunlight on my, you know, getting some sunlight. So I go outside. I go for walks. But to keep your energy up, just take a look at your workout routine. And often, you know, what felt good in the summer may not feel really good in the fall and so on and so forth. In summertime, we say there's so much pitta out there in the air and in the environment that it's not the best time to do things like hot yoga and practices that overheat you. But now, maybe the time, if you feel called to get back into your, you know, just making this up, but Peloton bike routine or more of a vigorous vinyasa yoga routine, if you're doing things in your home, or just really take a look and see what does your body feel called to. Do you feel called to be more active, to sweat more, or do you feel called to relax a little bit more or to feel more yin? Maybe your body is still adjusting between seasons. So see what feels good to your body. And then also body-wise, you know, strong belief in Ayurveda, and also there is research that shows this as well from Western science, that in between the seasons, our lymphatic system, our whole detoxification system is a bit more vulnerable, and there is a tendency for a lot of people to get sick. So I encourage you all around, if you're going to take one thing, take our SBO Saluna probiotics. They are amazing. My husband was pretty erratic, and lately I hand them to him. I say, here, take this, babe. And I just notice his energy, his immunity, everything just feels more centered and balanced. And I can say for myself, I will never skip them. I do not skip them. Knock on wood, my energy stays up. It's that core, it's that microbiome. It's this inner strength that you can develop that really keeps your energy from getting frazzled and also from getting depleted. So please, Faith, keep continuing to take or start taking, if you haven't yet, the SBO probiotics. I stand by them 100%. I do not put out things that I do not take myself and I do not believe in. And believe me, I have tried a lot of probiotics, some that are very, very expensive and some that do not really work. So I really believe in ours. So check those out. Next cornerstone is emotional well-being / mental health. So it's natural when it is cold outside, there's more darkness. You may feel yourself retreating more inward, and it's important to honor this. So I encourage you to go out and get a bunch of herbal tea that you really like, or check out some of our Saluna elixirs. We'll link to some recipes in the show notes, and embrace this time as a time for going inward, self-exploration. Check out some books, get yourself a nice new journal. Check out the Saluna Circle. We have journal prompts every month and our live Zoom circle where we all chat together. But really, this is a time where you can process a lot and learn a lot about yourself. So I really encourage you to, with the slowing down of, you know, outer activity perhaps, and just feeling more cozy, being in your home more probably because it's so cold outside, embrace it. See this as a gift where you can spend more time getting to know yourself and more being, less doing. And so instead of seeing it as like, oh God, it sucks, it's cold outside, I'm isolated. Instead of seeing it as that, really having those tools, like I said, you can make a little ritual with tea and your journal and some relaxing music and a spot on your couch or wherever, your meditation seat, and carving out, you know, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever seems really good to you as your sacred self-reflection time, and seeing how you felt, seeing what the highlights of your day were, what lessons you learned today. You might be surprised at a reaction you had, and you might want to process that. A few days ago, we had our podcast here with Dr. Carol Darsa, who is a trauma expert. And if you didn't listen to that podcast, I suggest you go back and listen to that one as well, because she talks about ways that sometimes when we're doing and doing, doing, it's because we don't want to feel something. We're avoiding a feeling that might have been there from our childhood. And unless we process it and allow it to come up, it keeps coming up in other ways and we keep feeling like we're running and spinning away from it. So it's sacred to honor this inward time. This is the time to be more introverted, and it can be really powerful and really beautiful if we embrace it. Fourth cornerstone is spiritual growth. And similarly to what I was just saying, this is a time where, oh my gosh, your energy, you can get so much energy from your meditation practice, Faith. And that is a primary way that I get my energy. My morning meditations, really notice the difference if I don't do them, and I rarely skip them now. Evening meditations, you connect inside. And so practically speaking, you become centered. There's less energy going out in reactions, in just feeling disorganized, because when you get centered, you become organized, you become efficient, you become very calm, more calm at least. Things are still going to happen in your life, but I definitely encourage you to put energy into establishing your yoga practice, especially now as we get into the colder months, Faith, and notice what happens to your energy. Notice how you start to conserve more of your vital energy and you just start to feel much more grounded in general. All right, my loves, we are going to go into a short break now. And when I get back, we have two more questions for you on this topic, energy boosting practices for fall. Hey, beauties, I want to share one of the biggest secrets for health and wellness and energy and maintaining a slim, lean body is to consistently clean out excess waste from your body. It's not just what you're putting in, but making sure that you are releasing as much as possible from your GI tract, from your body, things that can stagnate, old waste, old toxins that can clog your body and make your goals, your wellness and beauty goals, much harder to achieve. So I have a product for you. It's called Detoxy. It's really amazing. It's basically nasal oxygen paired with ASC2P, which is a stable form of vitamin C that in clinical research has been shown to help prevent the very, very root cause of aging, which is the shortening of telomeres, which creates chromosomal damage in your DNA. So it's helpful in that regard. And it also just cleans out your system. It's amazing. It's not a laxative. It's not habit forming, but you take it in the evening and you'll find the right capsule amount for you. It could be one. It could be four or five. I personally take four. You take it before bed and in the morning you release more, so to speak. So it's really wonderful. It's really impactful. It will help you feel lighter and all the benefits of cleansing your system, better skin, more energy. So you can check it out over at mysaluna.com. It's called Feel Good Detoxy. And you can also use the code wellness15 for 15% off all supplements and skincare, including our Detoxy. Again, wellness15 for 15% off. All right, my loves, we are back from our break. Two more questions here. Let's get right into it. I love this topic. First one comes from Colleen, who lives in New Jersey. She writes, I'm more anxious and overwhelmed than ever, and not sure if it's a combination of the workload I'm having coupled with the weather. Do you have a few really great tips for my mental health? So I definitely feel there's a combination here, Colleen, and thank you, my love, for your question. Sending you a big warm hug out there to New Jersey, which you may not know is the state I was born in. My father is from New Jersey, born and raised. And I was there for the first 2.5 years of my life before we moved to Connecticut. So I think that there's this, you know, the element that starts to predominate in the fall and from the Panchamahabhuta theory, which is in Ayurveda, which is the five elements, air, space, fire, earth, and water. And different seasons, there's a predominance of certain elements. And so there's a predominance now of the air and the wind. And so that is the natural energy that kicks up more anxiety. So it's on the collective, it's colder, it's windier. It's just the energy that we can't necessarily define in words, but it's very easy to feel more anxious. And of course, workloads get kicked up. You know, companies are trying to get a lot of things done before the end of the year. There's deadlines. There's so much going on with your kids' schools if you have kids. And so it's definitely a combination of all of these. So I think that everything we've talked about so far applies here, Colleen, as well as, you know, so let's just review that food-wise. We talked about Dinacharya. We talked about so many things already, the four cornerstones. The best thing you can do, one of the most powerful things you can do is really establish a routine and stick to it. So getting up in the morning, doing your meditation, making your hot water with lemon and ginger if you want to, your GGS, methodizing your life, having dinner at around the same time, starting your evening practice around the same time, and, you know, trying to eat meals at the same time, bedtime at the same time. When there's a swirl of activity outside, the rhythms will start to really just ground your body, keep your body really healthy, and keep your mind really healthy. Because the antithesis of anxiety is calmness and equanimity, and all these rhythms and routines really promote that calmness and deep equanimity. I would also recommend in the evening as part of your evening practice, either Abhyanga or dry skin brushing. You want to work with your skin. And this is something again from Ayurveda, which teaches that our skin is a really powerful way that we can work with our nervous system. because our skin is vasculated. Our skin will help to soothe us and help to bring us to the here and now. Again, it helps to rebalance the nervous system. It helps to keep us calm and grounded and centered. So any of those practices, and we have lots of information on them over at the Soluna website, is going to be really, really great for your nervous system and for your anxiety levels. And then I also highly recommend twice a day meditations, even if it's for a few moments. If you haven't yet checked out our Practical Enlightenment meditations over on the app, the Soluna app, or on our website, I put them out now every week. So you can see which ones you feel called to. There's a really great grounding one I think would really work for you. And they're generally about 7 minutes. So not super long. You can do one in the morning, one in the evening. Really take that time to not being constant, rushing, doing, to-do list. What's the next thing? What do I have to do? But centering and breathing and being here now. And then everything, when you do start to step into doing mode, it actually feels a lot more easeful because you are organized within, you are calmed within. So try some of those practices, my love, and see how it starts to regulate you and your mind and your anxiety. And I can't wait to hear how things unfold for you this fall. And if you have any more questions or if there's any other way I can support you, please write into the show, my love. Thank you so much. All right, let's get into our next and final question, which comes from Rebecca, who lives in Nebraska. And she writes, can spiritual growth help with social isolation as we go inward towards fall and winter time? Feeling moody and tired and trying to start some type of practice so that I'm okay with being, quote, with myself and not relying on others for happiness. Wow, Rebecca, thank you, my love. This is an amazing question, and you're asking the question, but I think you already know the answer. By the way you framed the question, and you can feel your wisdom rising up here. And there is a reality to social isolation. And I think that community is important, but I think that connecting with the true self is very important as well. So yes, we want to have community. And in the winter, it's cold and people are home more and there's less people walking around and there's less, you know, softball games and meeting up in the park and having picnics and all that kind of stuff and parties outside and barbecues. I mean, that's pretty obvious. So first of all, I just want to preface this by saying connections are still important. So FaceTime with family members. I'll say it again. You can join our Soluna Circle, which is daily interaction, and that live Zoom. I feel like it's really nourishing. So if you feel called to it, love, please join us. Now, that being said, you want to keep up some community time, but this is a really beautiful time to naturally go more inward and to start to develop that unbreakable inner bond that is really the source of bliss, is the source of joy. You actually don't need, you know, in the purest sense, we don't really need much outside of ourselves at all. We can give ourselves that joy. We can create that connection, which allows us to become aware of our natural state, which is already bliss, which is already joy. We don't need to add anything into it. We don't need to get anything. It comes from inside. And this is something that I have personally experienced, where I used to feel very, you know, just my moods and everything felt so dependent on the outside. So it was about making plans all the time and making sure I had enough in my schedule, because if I didn't, I felt like I was left out, or I didn't feel cool, or I felt like a loser, or whatever it was. It was very important to me to have a lot of external stuff going on and fill my time. And now the funny thing is I try to do less stuff and I try to have more and more inner time. And it's really, really powerful. And I just feel a lot more content and I feel a lot more centered. So I definitely go into this a lot, Rebecca, with the next book, which is called You Are More Than You Think You Are. We start pre-sales just in a few days. And I will echo a little bit what I said in the last question. Now is the time to really commit to a meditation practice if you haven't yet already. And so just as I was saying to Colleen, this is the reason I prioritize putting out those practical enlightenment meditation practices every week. Because as always, I want to share with you, all of you, what has helped me the most. And in the beginning, I shared a lot about food because that was where I was in my journey. But I've gotten so much deeper. I've gone beyond food. I think food is important, but it doesn't make you, it doesn't give you the bliss that you're looking for. It helps to pave the path to bliss. But what really is the path to bliss is living the four cornerstones. So the food is supportive. Your body practices are supportive. You are taking care of your emotional and mental health. And ultimately, the spiritual growth, the self-connection is where you get the bliss. And so the food is supportive of that because as the great yogis teach us, if we eat very active foods, lots of animal products, lots of, you know, overly spicy, too many onions, too many garlic, it becomes more difficult to become still. It becomes more difficult to listen to your intuition, to your inner voice. So the food is supportive of the bliss, but it's not the whole thing. So of all the practices, Rebecca, you know, you nailed it on the head here. Spiritual growth is where we connect, is where we start to go inward, is where we feel that amazing peace and joy from nothing other than self-connection, nothing else. So please, my love, check out the meditations if you haven't yet already. I take you through a three-step process. Number one is calming the body so it doesn't become a distraction. Number two is some specific breath work for each of the meditations. And the third part of my practice that I teach is the I Am seed intention, which helps to unite your consciousness with the true self-consciousness inside of you. So you start to expand and move past the blocks that make you feel small and limited. So check it out, my love. I think that you will really vibe off it. I've created it for all of our beauties, and it's a way that I can support you in a much deeper way. So I am very excited. Before we sign off today, I want to give you guys my quote of the week as well. And here it is, something for you to ponder as we sign off on the show. Since we are part of nature, we must adjust to the cycles of nature to best care for ourselves. So I'll break that down. We are part of nature. We are not separate to nature. She is one with us and we are one with her. The same elements in nature are the same elements in our body. So we must adjust to what's going on in nature. You know, the natural elements start to shift. There's more pitta. There's more fire in the summer. Now there's more wind. So we can't ignore that and pretend that we're separate from that. So we have to adjust. And the last part of the quote, to best care for ourselves. We integrate, we go with the flow, and therefore we feel the best, we look the best, we have the most energy, we feel content, we feel revitalized, and we feel deeply fulfilled no matter what season it is. So I'll say it one more time. Since we are part of nature, we must adjust to the cycles of nature to best care for ourselves. So I'll leave you with that, my loves. Hope you enjoyed our show today, and please be sure to head over to mysaluna.com for the show notes, where we will link to other podcasts, other recipes, meditations, other things that I think you would deeply enjoy. And I will be back here Monday for our next podcast. It's going to be a goodie, so be sure to tune in. I'll also see you on social @_KimberlySnyder. Till then, take great care and sending you so much love.